up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Rob and Pete toss out replacement options for John Tavares. How much patience is required for Stars players? Waiver wire targets, DFS plays, and best bets.
How's it going, everybody? Pete, Rob, and Dave Satriano, number two in the house, right? Finishing number two in the FanDuel contest on Thursday night. Major props, buddy.
That was quite the finish. I was in first for a while. We were all texting back and forth last night. I was pretty excited. But Rob, as I said, that's why you watch and stay up for those 10 o'clock late games.
That's it, Davey. Congrats. And I honestly don't think that any of us are going to have a second place finish for the remainder of the season. So I think we can all tip our cap to you and crown you as a DFS champion.
It's one of those things, like, once you get to near the top of the mountain or to the top of the mountain, you could at least say you've been there. At least at the end of the season, we could say one of us got that high. And Rob also had a top 10 finish earlier. So yeah, I got to pick my game up, man.
That's nothing compared to finishing second overall and having a chance for first is absolutely mental. So again, Davey, congrats, brother.
People say that, you know, when you're an athlete, other people drive you. I saw Rob finish top 10. I said, hey, I got to finish top 5 now. So, Pete, you're up next. Number one maybe next week or so.
I do, yeah. Elias Lindholm was my best player of the night, and he got injured in the game. So I think that says it all. He did score a goal in the game. But how about your goalie performance? You got a shutout from Carey Price. And then that wasn't even the best goalie performance of the night. You had a 47-save shutout from Carter Hutton, and then also a big performance and a loss, right, for Anders Nielsen.
It's very rare when a goalie gets a shutout and he's not top one or two on the night. But yeah, as you said, those other two guys were great. I picked Price because I wanted the shutout, knowing that he's playing the Wild, and I think they had like 15 or 18 shots. So it was kind of a, you know, you hope for the shutout, you know he won't face much, and that's exactly what happened. So that's where how we got there.
Well, thanks for breaking down the strategy, Davey, and popping on with us Friday morning.
Is that it for Davey? You're gone? What, do you have a lot of work on the agenda today?
Guys, lunch is on me with my fake dollars I just won. So after the podcast, lunch is on me.
Yeah, when you say lunch, do you mean like a real lunch, or are you going to take me to that Sloppy Moe's place that's about 95 degrees?
No.
We got to cut that part out, man. You can't be making fun of Moe's like that. But we'll go wherever you want. You produce the show. So wherever you want lunch today, that's where we're going.
It's staying in.
Potential sponsor.
And it's a big day for Davey overall, right? The Devils got their first win. The Hughes pick paid off as well.
I said Hughes would have a point. I said the Devils would win, and I didn't have any of them on my team because that's how you win.
I like it. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
And now we're joined by Jonathan Barron. He's a fantasy writer for NHL.com/fantasy. You can check out his top 25 lines story. Jonathan, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, man. And John's story runs on NHL.com every Sunday, so check it out with your morning coffee that day. And a big morning coffee storyline today for fantasy owners is John Tavares being out for 2 weeks with a broken finger. What does this mean for the line implications for the Maple Leafs over these next 2 weeks, John?
Well, as of this morning, it looks like Alexander Kerfoot's going to be taking Tavares' spot on the second line in the middle with Mitch Marner. And, it's going to be a tough injury for the Leafs to overcome for sure. It doesn't hurt to have Austin Matthews at the one center on the top line. But, yeah, it looks like Alexander Kerfoot's going to be the guy that you're going to want to go and snag as an in-house replacement for Tavares while he's sidelined with the injury.
And then it looks like Nylander's moving up to the top power play. So, Jonathan, is that now a stacking option in DFS where you can put Matthews and Nylander together and feel comfortable in the power play?
Absolutely. I mean, it really seems like Mike Babcock wants to keep those two guys together as often as possible. It's a talented power play operating around 27% right now. Nylander only takes the value increase by being on the top power play, of course, on the top line as well. So, yeah, you definitely want to stack those guys in DFS contests. And, Nylander in season-long formats, he has a little added value. You don't know. If it works out really well, you never know what a team might decide to do. So definitely keep an eye on William Nylander moving forward here.
Nylander can also play center, so that gives them some flexibility if the Kerfoot thing doesn't work out. Kerfoot could play center or wing as well, so something to look out for there over the course of these 2 weeks, because I know the Leafs have a difficult schedule over that span. In terms of outside replacements for John Tavares, who's on your radar right now from teams other than the Maple Leafs?
So Nick Schmaltz is a guy I like a lot as a guy to replace Tavares. Right now he's riding a four-game point streak. He had two assists on Thursday night in the Coyotes' 5-2 win against the Predators. Nick Schmaltz has been seeing big power play time. He's played about 8 minutes in the last four games. A couple power play points during that span. The ownership's not that high in Yahoo leagues. It's about 20% last I checked. So he's definitely a guy, if he's still available in your league, to go snag. We've seen Nick Schmaltz put up 50-point type seasons in the past. Obviously, last year the injuries held him back, and he didn't really get to show what he could do in Arizona. But Nick Schmaltz is a guy that I would definitely target as a replacement for John Tavares right now.
You have the Calgary Flames line ranked number 4 overall. Elias Lindholm left early with an injury on Thursday night. If he is off that line, who do you like to replace him?
In terms of in-house or in general?
In-house.
In-house. So there's a couple different ways they can go there. Matthew Tkachuk's obviously an option to move up to that top line. But the 3M line has been one of the more steady trios in the league over the last couple years. So I'm not entirely sure that the Flames are going to be prepared to break that one up. But if they do, Matthew Tkachuk, I mean, he's already a big owned guy.
Maybe Sam Bennett. I mean, I know they tried him right like last year in the playoffs. They elevated him when things went sour in the first round against the Avs.
Right, yeah, Sam Bennett's not a bad option right now. He's got a couple points in 8 games. He's been playing down in the lineup. He did score last night against the Red Wings. So Sam Bennett is an option there. Definitely an interesting situation in Calgary, and not as straightforward as a situation, say, in Toronto, where it seems like they have that figured out. It could be a revolving door of wings if Elias Lindholm does miss any time there.
And the injuries are starting to pile up now after the coast was clear for a little while. Right now, Philip Forsberg missed the game on Thursday. We don't know if he's going to play this weekend. How do you think those lines shake out? I mean, who does anybody benefit here? I saw maybe Kyle Turris would be bumped up. I don't really like that from a fantasy angle.
Yeah, the injuries are definitely starting to pile up, like you said, after the coast was clear for quite a while. And Nashville didn't look great last night without Philip Forsberg. Hopefully they can get him back over the weekend. And it's a deep team. Nashville is actually one of two teams. They have 8 players with multiple goals right now. They're one of two teams. The Leafs, obviously, the other one. So if there is any team that can sustain an injury to a guy like Philip Forsberg, it's the Predators. You know, it looks like Cal Yarncroc playing on that top line, and then you had Kyle Turris, Rocco Grimaldi, Austin Watson. So they like to spread it out a lot. You got a lot of options there. But yeah, another tough injury for fantasy owners to deal with.
The Edmonton top line is probably the hottest in hockey right now, points-wise. If you're on the waiver wire and you're choosing between Zach Cassian, who's on the top line, or James Neal, who's on the second line, who do you go with and why?
You know, it's a toss-up. James Neal brings you the power play production. But I'm going to go with Zach Cassian, and I'll tell you why. Scored a career-high 15 goals last season, had 111 shots on goal, and that was not playing entirely on that top line. If you remember, Alex Chiasson played on that top line for a while last year. Right now, he's close to a point per game. He has 6 points in 7 games. He's on pace for 70. I don't expect him to get there necessarily, but with the current pace, you can pencil him in for 50 to 55 points as long as he stays on that top line. And he brings added value in hits league. So I'm buying what Zach Cassian's selling right now, as long as he's going to continue to play with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who, I mean, guys, let's face it, you tell me if you agree, that's the best duo in the league right now. Would you agree with that?
I think so, yeah. You can't really dispute it. There are 3 stacked lines out there between Tampa, Colorado, and Boston. But in terms of duo, I mean, they're both at the top of the leaderboard.
Oh, I mean, there's no one that's even close to that right now. I think they've combined for either 32 or 35 points through the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the season.
That's insane. And yeah, Cassian, I think between the hits and the points and the goals, I mean, he would be in that elite company. Even if he gets 50 points, I mean, you know, he's going to have that category coverage that's pretty much unrivaled. So that's really good stuff.
It's a Tom Wilson light situation. I think I would compare Zach Cassian to. You know, he's not going to score 35 goals. I don't think he's going to score as many goals as a Tom Wilson would. But I mean, you can't go wrong with Zach Cassian right now with exposure to those two.
Jonathan, when looking at the Boston Bruins, you have them ranked 1st overall on the story. Pasternak obviously on fire. Is that a player in DFS now that has to be in your lineup every time Boston plays?
I came across an incredible statistic last night, including the game against Tampa Bay. That top line has now scored 14 of the team's last 17 goals. You talk about leaning on a line, and David Pastrnak right in the middle of all. But to answer your question, Rob, absolutely. Pasta has elevated his game this year. Follows up his four-goal game on Monday with a three-point night last night against Tampa Bay. He's now up to 13 points on the season. David Pastrnak, and you guys tell me if you agree, he's making a case for a top-10 player in the league right now. And he could be a top-5 conversation before the season's over. What do you guys think about that?
I think he's making a case for a top-5 of our rankings. We just moved in Drysdale into the top-5. I think that's rightfully so. But, you know, if a guy like MacKinnon or even Kucherov, like I have Kucherov in one of my leagues, and it's been a lot different than last year so far. So we'll see if he sticks with Poyne and Stamkos. But, yeah, for now, if anybody's knocking as hard as Pastrnak, I don't know who it is.
Right. And, you know, once again, him being on that top line with Marchand and with Patrice Bergeron, those guys have been together for the last 3 years, constantly one of the top three lines in the league. It's going to be tough to knock him off from number one, but, yeah, he's a lock every single night, no matter what. He's worth spending up for. There aren't many nights where you're going to come away with a David Pastrnak play and feel unfulfilled with it. So, yeah, Rob, he's absolutely a guy you want to target night in and night out.
Now, when you look at, like, an upcoming slate and you're looking at teams with really deep top 6 or top 9 forward groups, I mean, the one that screams out to me is Vegas. Anytime they play, they roll 3 strong lines. But for this Friday slate, I know you're high on the Florida Panthers. We've seen mixed results from them. But what do you think of their top 9 and where it ranks across the league?
Definitely. So, yeah, last year Florida was one of 6 teams that had 4 players with at least 25 goals. They've got a real deep top 9. The additions of Noel Achari, guys like that help out rounding out a top 9. They'll take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight. When those two teams have gotten together recently, you've had high-scoring games. 3 of the last 4 meetings between those two teams have seen 7 or more goals. Florida's returning home now after a nice little road trip. One guy I have a little bit of concern about is Alexander Barkov. He's still searching for that first goal, but he has 5 assists, including a 2-assist game on Monday in New Jersey. So I really like Florida to get it going at home as they open a little homestand there.
I'm a Barkov owner, so I'm with you in that corner. I do think he'll get going, though. One of the elite players in the league. It's just that first goal, monkey off his back, and he's on a roll.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's been a little line changing there. He was playing with Mike Hoffman and Frank Petrano on Saturday against the Islanders. Evgeny Dadonov was taken off his wing, and Jonathan Huberdeau, they were playing throughout the lineup. Dennis Malgin had a couple good looks. A guy like Dennis Malgin, you don't think about him. You know, to me, Dennis Malgin is what makes this such a deep team. 2 points in 4 games. But the signs are there. The shot attempts are there. The peripherals are there with a guy like Dennis Malgin. So, yeah, Florida is definitely a team I'd keep an eye on. They had a nice comeback win against the Devils. They scored 6 goals after a couple, not brutal showings, but tough showings against the Sabres and Islanders, a couple shootout losses. But they're right where they want to be right now at this point of the season. They've got bit of a tough schedule coming up with Colorado, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and they go out to Western Canada. But if they can get through that, I like the Panthers moving forward.
One other question I had, John. So the Chicago Blackhawks have only played like 4 games. They're going to play their 5th on Friday night. They actually are playing Dylan Strome and Andrew Shaw with Patrick Kane these days. Do you think that could stick? I mean, right now I feel like a lot of these Blackhawks guys are losing value just because they haven't been playing, but maybe someone could be out there on the waiver wire, certainly a Shaw who covers categories.
And absolutely. Last year, Shaw in Montreal, he was on a trio that made a lot of noise and cracked the top 25. You know, it was a nice resurgence season for Andrew Shaw. Here are the numbers about Dylan Strome. He's played 62 games with the Blackhawks. He has 54 points already. He had just 16 points in 48 games during his time with the Coyotes. And if you're nervous as a fantasy owner that Patrick Kane may not be his line mate long-term moving forward, if that's the case, and if Jeremy Calton decides to stack Kane and Taves, you're at least going to have, most likely Alex DeBrincat playing with Dylan Strome. And the two of them together last year were very successful. So Dylan Strome's a safe play in fantasy, especially in standard leagues, season-long formats, to go ahead and pick up and roster, just because you know he's going to be bringing exposure to one of those valuable wings with the Blackhawks. And like you said, they haven't played much yet, but all that means is moving forward, there's going to be a lot of hockey in Chicago, and Chelsea Dagger will be ringing through the United Center.
Well, great insight, Jonathan. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll certainly keep our eyes peeled on that Strome-Kane situation moving forward.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again to John for joining us here on his Fantasy on Ice podcast debut. And we have a lot of other lines to get to here. I mean, I think one that is big for the weekend games and also moving forward, you got the Philadelphia Flyers line with Konechny. Like, Konechny has – he's playing with Sean Couturier. He has like 7 points in four or five games. Is this guy the real deal?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't say he's the real deal. I think Konechny's a solid player, but I wouldn't be dropping a reliable player in fantasy to pick up Travis Konechny, no.
And the Stars actually play a back-to-back road trip in the state of Pennsylvania. It's not the biggest game going on in Pennsylvania this weekend, but we got the Stars with a chance to right their wrongs. Is there any against the grain appeal in Dallas, or are you moving off for the time being?
Until we see their depth scoring, I'm not touching Dallas. And, you know, I like that team. I like them coming into the season. I'm still a Ben Bishop guy. You know, I'll make the case for him to be a top five goalie any day of the week. But right now, I mean, if they can't buy a goal outside their top six, and their top six, when you look inside of it, Jamie Benn is still a player that we have been waiting for the past two seasons to bring the fantasy value back to us, and he just hasn't done it.
He produced really well in the playoffs, which gave you that glimmer that maybe he would bounce back this year fully to the Benn that we came to know, 70, 80-point Jamie Benn. But you got to be reconsidering things here. I think we've gotten a lot of questions over the past couple of days related mostly to guys like Alexander Radulov, John Klingberg, Joe Pavelski. I mean, it really falls within the confines of your roster. Like, one guy I know couldn't drop Pavelski because he needed him as a center-eligible player. But, I mean, how much patience do you honestly have with these guys? Do you give them another week and then maybe move on?
Well, absolutely another week. And I think someone asked me on Twitter this morning, actually, if John Klingberg was dropped in his league, should he pick him up? And I said, absolutely. I mean, John Klingberg, he has the ceiling to be a top 10 defenseman. Right now he's playing outside the top 30 point-wise. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, like we kind of said about Barkov with the interview earlier, it just takes that one goal, that one game, and then he's back like he never left. So with a player like Klingberg, you have to be patient. However, with a player like Benn, now that we've seen kind of trending down, that's where, as a fantasy owner, I'm just a little bit more inclined to say, let me package him up in a trade. Or if it gets to that point and another month goes by, I might even drop him.
Now, I guess we ping-pong some players here for the weekend games. One guy that caught my eye, Riley Smith, has goals in three straight games. Is that guy one of, honestly, the most underrated players in the NHL? I think he probably is.
Well, sure, general-wise. But for fantasy, I'm not going to buy shares of Riley Smith. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's a situation where, you know, if you don't have Stone or you don't have Pacioretty, I would get Glass or Stastny. You know what I mean? It's like I wouldn't even think about getting the Riley Smith, although it looks like he's going to keep producing. So, yeah, I mean, I like Riley Smith for sure. I just, you know, as a fantasy owner, I have a hard time shying away from the big dogs on the top line.
Yeah, Riley Smith is a fixture, we should say, with Marchessault and William Karlsson. So you can always bank on that lineup placement. You can always know that he's going to play mostly on the second power play, but usually with those two guys as well. And any given game, like I've never had William Karlsson in a league before this year, mm-hmm. and he actually steps up. Like he'll have multi-point games sprinkled in throughout the week or two-week span. So it's just a line that is rock solid and can produce for you any given night. So what do you think of this Flames-Kings game on Saturday night? Of course, we got the storyline with Doughty and Tkachuk and maybe Lindholm's out, but are you rostering one player or the other in this ongoing feud?
Candidly, I wasn't even looking at that game. I, you know, that's just one that I don't have a lot of appeal in, especially if Lindholm misses it. The mm-hmm. Kings have been putting up a lot of shots, but I would pay attention to other themes this weekend, like the Samsonov versus Holtby controversy in D.C. I know they play the Rangers Friday, so pay attention to who starts that game. Other things I'd look at, too, is Carolina. They have been shooting the puck a lot. Dougie Hamilton's been scoring. Eric mm-hmm. Hall is still chipping in. Pay attention to that team, too, because their goaltending is looking a little suspect lately. They do play the Ducks on Friday, which is a sneaky opponent, so there could be some untapped value there.
Definitely start Samsonov against the Rangers if he goes. I mean, right, the Rangers top line after the hot start for Zibanejad and everybody, they've gone quiet the past two games. They have no secondary scoring right now. You got Kako with nobody in the middle and Kreider on the other side. Kreider does not look like he's bringing it here in his contract year.
A team that I'm paying attention to is the Pittsburgh Penguins. They play two games this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So far, okay. So good without Evgeny Malkin. I want to see how this team really looks because Sid Crosby's a guy right now is got to be in your DFS lineup. I don't know if you could get away with stacking these Penguins at this point, but if you do a little Crosby and season in a little Chris Letang on the back end, I think that's a money play both Friday and Saturday.
I mean, if you can somehow on any given night fit in Sidney Crosby or David Pastrnak into your lineup, you should at this point. These guys are bringing it every single night. One really good game on Saturday night is Sabres at Sharks. The Sabres coming out. Hutton has back-to-back shutouts. Evander Kane was the biggest riser in our top 200 rankings this week. It's a tough one, like on this West Coast road trip for the Sabres. We've seen mixed results. Do the Sabres end it with a win here in San Jose?
I think it'll be a good game for DFS purposes. I wouldn't roster Hutton, and I wouldn't roster Martin Jones. I want to see these two teams trade chances because Buffalo's playing an up-tempo style. And then for specific player-wise, I would definitely get Rasmus Dahlin in that lineup, and then I would also try to get an Erik Karlsson. That might be a little bit of an underrated storyline kind of coming into this game. That's something I would definitely want to cash in on the DFS slate.
And we see multiple lines contributing for both teams now. There's like Mittelstadt was one of the top performers of the night. Marcus Johansson, game-to-game basis, has returned value so far this season. And the Sabres are leading the NHL in points right now. We'll see if it keeps up, but definitely a team to target the rest of the way.
And then one other note, too, is on Saturday, the Vancouver Canucks play the New Jersey Devils. The goaltender, Thatcher Demko, is now 1-2 straight. If he wins three straight there, I believe there will be a goaltender timeshare controversy when Markstrom comes back to the lineup.
And we were all over that this week. I mean, even before he played a game, we said to pick him up. 2-0 so far. I mean, you'll take it.
And speaking of that, we are up to 138 reviews on Apple Podcasts right now.
I love it.
Getting close to 150, so we're just 12 shy. So if you're sitting there listening still and you haven't left a review, please just click that little 5-star button for us.
Click the 5 stars. I love it. Let's keep that momentum going. And yeah, thanks again to John Barron and Dave Satriano for hopping on the show this morning. 4-show week here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. I love it. Definitely a sign of things to come. And we have the other podcasts in the podcast network, NHL Draft Class, NHL Executive Suite, and NHL At the Rink. Go check them out and enjoy your weekend. So for Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, so long. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.